Hey, beautiful souls. Welcome to another episode of Vitality Podcast. I am your host, Ciandra Somerville. I have been on a break. As you can see, I know you guys know I am a weekly show, okay? So I had to take a break. I went on vacation one of those weeks, and then the other week I needed to just try to figure out how to balance everything because I have my skincare line coming out. Well, my new products coming out for my skincare line. And then I had the Heal Yourself community that I was trying to come out with. So I'm just trying to figure out how to juggle everything. So I've finally gotten to a comfortable space with trying to balance all of it. So yeah, I needed that break. And then of course that next following week I had went on vacation. So I've had a lot of time to think about this episode, and I've had a lot of time to get my head back right. Because, you know, I think everybody just needs a break every now and then. You know, everybody gets overwhelmed. Everybody needs a moment or time to relax and clear their mind and just have a peaceful space for a while. You know, just not doing anything, not going crazy with work or anything like that, just a peaceful space. Okay, so yes, it was well deserved. I was really happy. I was really excited. I had a really good vacation and I can't wait to go back. My next vacation is going to be with my daughter, of course. Our birthdays are both in January. So after Christmas, I will be planning our birthdays. Our birthday getaway. I'm going to do something with her the weekend, like the weekend of her birthday. And then I'm going to do something for me that next weekend. So, it's going to be a lot, but my daughter deserves it. She is the sweetest and the joy of my life, I can say. So, yeah. This episode is called Faith Over Fear. I decided to come up with this and talk about this because I feel a lot of times we are fearful, or we have this anxiety, this overwhelming stress of just day-to-day life. You know, it could be small things, big things, but we all have our moments where we are fearful or we are overwhelmed. And it's just part of life. I mean, it's part of being human. It's part of being flesh. So I think that for me, I feel like fear is something that is, I think fear came from, speaking from a biblical point, of course, we all know fear and all of these emotions, these negative emotions that we feel. I feel like fear comes from flesh, you know, it comes from us just being human. And I think we have to understand that from a biblical standpoint, fear is not something that God gives us. He does not give us fear. He does not give us anxiety. You know, all of those negative emotions that we feel, I don't think those feelings come from God. Of course, we have a fear of him as far as respect. You know, we fear our parents. We respect our parents. We fear someone that we look up to. We respect them. I think fear as far as looking to a higher power is more of a respectful fear, you know. But a fear of just being like scared, I don't think that God has given us that, okay? Because, I mean, it says it in his word, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, I believe. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, okay? So God does not give us fear. I remember one time I was talking to someone, we were having a conversation, and I was telling him that I have a lot of anxiety a lot of the times, and he was like, what do you mean? I was like, I just have this anxiety, like this fear, this like my heart starts to race. And he was telling me, he was like, you know, that's not God, right? I've never had someone tell me that. So when he said it to me, it kind of threw me off. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you know, God doesn't give you the spirit of fear, right? And I was like, you know, because I think we've been so used to this trend of everybody saying they have anxiety, everybody saying they have fear, everybody, you know, thinking that they're a therapist. You know, we say the word narcissist and toxic so many times that it's like literally used in everyday relationship debatable conversations. So I think that those words have become so cliche that we just loosely use them. So I was telling him that I was, you know, I have a lot of anxiety. And he was telling me, God doesn't give you the spirit of anxiety. He's like, you need to pray about that, because that doesn't come from God. God gives you boldness. He doesn't give you fear. And I was like, you know, I was like, okay. Like, because it shocked me when he said it, because I had never heard anybody respond to me in that way. I had always heard people try to tell me what I could do to get my fear, and my anxiety away and all these things, right? So when he said that to me, that stuck with me. And so when I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, when I read that God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, I was like, wow. He was right. I mean, I knew he was right because he's a very biblical person anyways. So I knew he was right, but I just had to see for myself, you know. I'm one of those people, like, I have to see to believe, you know. So I had to read for myself, and I found so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about having faith over fear and, you know, having fear. And I just wanted to read y'all a couple of verses. So one is Isaiah 41:10. It says, God will give us the strength we lack to fight anxiety. And that's a big one for me, because I do suffer from anxiety. And I think I don't know. I don't want to say it's my adulthood. I've always been a very shy person, or a very timid person, I would say. I've always been very introverted to myself. I played sports, but that, just because you play sport doesn't mean that you were a social person. And, you know, I had friends, but I didn't really care to have friends, if that makes sense. So I've always been a very introverted person. I've always been kind of a, like, if I'm by myself, I'm by myself, whatever, you know. I played by myself as a kid, so I wasn't I wouldn't say I was a social person, but if I was put in those spaces, I can be a social person, but I'm initially not, you know. I just have always had this spirit of anxiety on me, and it comes from a lot of things. Some of it comes from childhood, some of it comes from experiences in life that have, you know, put that spirit on me. But this verse for me is something that I always remember whenever I feel anxiety, because God is the opposite of that. You know, he gives us boldness, he gives us strength, and he gives us that confidence. And we don't have to be in fear. We don't have to feel anxiety. We don't have to feel overwhelmed. And I always realize that for me, whenever I'm talking about God, or whenever I read about, whenever I read the Bible, or I'm consistent with my relationship with him, I always do feel like there is a difference in my personality and in how my demeanor is. Because I notice when I do talk about God, I can go on and on and on. And it's just like, I'm just going. And I think when you really get in your word, when you really are praying, when you really are fasting and reading the character of God, you know, that spirit and that I don't want to say persona, but the character of God really does fall upon you. It really does. Because I feel so confident whenever I do talk about God, or whenever God gives me something to say, it sounds so bold. And it's like, that's not my personality. It's not my personality. But when I'm talking about God, or when I'm saying something that God has for me to say, it's just like I'm spewing it out without any second guessing. And that's just the beauty of God. Okay. The next, I'm just getting off. But the next verse is Psalms 56. The next chapter is Psalms 56, verse 3. It says, when we are afraid, we should put our trust in God. So whenever you feel like something isn't going your way, when you're upset, when you're angry, for me, any negative emotion, I'm always going to, you know, every time I feel upset or I feel sad or something's going on negative with me, I always say, God, oh God, just take the wheel, God. Like I'll always say something like that to myself, or I'll always say, oh, please God, just help me. What do I need to do? Like I'm always talking to God constantly throughout the day. But I do notice that me sort of pep talking myself and believing that God will fix it always helps me. And the next verse is Psalms 46. The next chapter is Psalms 46, sorry. God is our refuge and strength, and our faith in him need not to be shaken by earth-shaking events. Okay, so basically for me, that verse says, and this is how I interpreted it. That verse says to me that when you feel like things are not going your way, everything's kind of just overwhelming you. There's so much going on. It's so much chaos. And you don't really know what to do. Earth-shaking events, to me, that tells me chaos. That tells me things that are just out of my hands. Things I can't control. When I feel that way, God is my refuge. Coming back to him is my refuge. It's just like a child when they're scared. You know, kids can be independent all day. My daughter's independent all day. Okay. When I tell you she is independent all day, literally all day. She has been independent since she came out the womb. She's just like me. Very, very independent. And she wants to do everything by herself. But as soon as she hurt herself, she is running straight to me. Okay. She can be doing anything and everything under the sun, not even paying attention to me. But as soon as something happens, she comes straight to me. And I think that is how we should be with God. And we should know, okay, I'm messing up. I need to go back. This isn't going right. I need to recoup. I need to refuel myself. I need to go back to God. And I think we need to make God our refuge more often than we do. Not just when something bad happens. Not just when we feel like he's the last resort. We need to stop treating God like the last resort. We do. If you really, truly want a relationship with God, you have to stop treating him like the last resort. We have to. You can't keep saying, okay, I don't feel like you have to go to church. So I'm not saying this verbatim, because I'm not saying you have to go to church every single Sunday, three times a week, you know, because people go to church. There's plenty of people that go to church and they're not living in a reflection of God. So I'm not going to say that, but I will say, you can't keep putting off God. If you know you need to go to church, or you know that you need church to stay on track, because some people need it. You know, some people, that is how they keep their self intertwine with God. And it's okay. Some people need a little bit more assistance, and that is okay. But if you feel like you keep putting off church, people keep inviting you to church, you know, you keep finding reasons to go to church, but you keep denying it or not going, don't do that to God. Don't keep saying, I'll get to you later. You know, I'll pray later. I'll read my Bible later, because you don't know the time or the hour when God is going to call you back to him. So don't always say, I'll do it when I have time. Don't do that. Don't say, I'll do it when I have time. Don't put it off. You know, give God his time every day, every single day. Give God his time, just like you give everything else your time. And some stuff you probably shouldn't be giving your time. But anyways, that's another topic. But let's make sure that we're giving God our time just like we're giving everything else our time. Don't put anything before God. You know, if you know that your relationship isn't very strong with God, find 10, 15 minutes out of your day. It's not hard. It really isn't. The time that you take in to watch TV or watch your favorite show or, you know, just sit around and lounge at the house, that's some time that you could be taking with God. There'll be times where I'll sit in front of the TV and I'll be watching my shows or whatever I'm watching, and I'll still have like my Bible in front of me, or I'll have an app in front of me, like a Bible gaming app, like a trivia app or something like that on my phone or on my iPad that I'm playing with. Or I will color in my I have this Bible coloring book. It's like a Bible scripture coloring book. I can't really describe it, but basically like all the pages are scriptures, but it's like these really pretty designs and you have to color it and all that. So I have one of those, and even just that, I'll be coloring in my little Bible verse coloring book while I'm watching TV. Small things like that will help your relationship, because some people, that's the only time they're reading the Bible, is when they're on their app on their phone, or when they're, you know, reading, doing a coloring book, and it's like a storybook or something. I do that with my daughter. Me and my daughter, we have, she has a coloring book, and it's like little pictures, like little stories in the Bible, but it's, you know, of course it's a coloring book, so you can color it, and then we can talk about what the picture is about. And she asked me questions, and I that helps me to, you know, brush up on what I, or on things that I could have either forgotten about, or I probably needed to get more information on myself. You know, there's so many things or ways that you can brush up on being in the space of God. Okay. And I know it sounds silly using a coloring book as an example, but it does help. Little things help. Okay. Because sometimes that's the only way somebody will look at a scripture. So, hey, whatever helps you, I'm with it. So, yeah, but those little things, find ways to have a relationship with God. Stop making God your last resort. And the more that you intertwine God into your day, the easier it will be. The easier you'll be, like, you won't even realize that you're doing it. Like, you won't even realize that you're doing it. I'll find myself picking up those little coloring books, or picking up those little, playing those little trivia games on my phone. I'll find myself doing that without feeling like I'm forcing myself to do it. You know, you don't want to feel like you're forcing yourself to do it. But of course, it being new to you, it's always going to kind of feel like you're forcing yourself, but get to a point where you're not feeling that way. You know, get to a point where it just becomes like second nature to you, you know, like everything else you're doing in your life. Okay. So there are a lot of stories in the Bible that depict faith over fear. David and Goliath, for example. I mean, him being human, I would only assume that he was fearful. I mean, he could have had some boldness in there, of course, because he had faith and you know, he had God on his side, and of course he knew that God was telling him to do this, and that this was was his purpose. So I'm pretty sure that he had faith and he had a boldness. He had the courage to do it because nobody else would do it. And this little scrawny guy, I'm sure he wasn't, you know, the most in shape of everyone. I mean, he wasn't obviously that much in shape because he wasn't doing what his brothers were doing. He was a shepherd. So I'm pretty sure he wasn't as in shape as someone who was fighting in a war like his brothers were, you know? So I would be scared too. But he had faith over that. His faith was over and it overshadowed his fear. Have you ever been in a space where, let me see, you had like a rush of something? Like, I remember one time when I was quote unquote swimming, because this sounds crazy, but I didn't know that people consider you being able to swim underwater as you being able to swim. So I can swim underwater, but it's like, if I can't touch the bottom, I'm like, whoa, this is not working. But somebody told me that if you can swim underwater, that's technically still swimming. So I can really swim underwater. Like, I'm like a fish underwater. But once I'm like, can't feel the bottom, or like, I like put my head up, I can't stay afloat for some reason. So I've always said that I can't swim. I tell people I can't swim. If you throw me in there, I'm probably gonna drown. That's what I've always told myself. But someone told me that it's still considered swimming if you can swim underwater. So I'm like, okay, whatever. But I still will tell you I can't swim. So I remember when I would swim underwater, I would always have this fear that I was going to somehow, I don't want to use that word. Like before I was going underwater, you know how you hold your breath and so you obviously can't breathe underwater. So you would hold your breath. Right before I would go underwater, I would have this overwhelming fear of like, don't breathe underwater. Like, and every time I swim underwater, I'm always in fear that I'm going to start breathing. Like, even though I know I'm holding my breath, I'm always in fear that I'm going to start like breathing, or I'm going to like, just breathe in for a second and then it's going to be all over. So that is a fear. Even though I have faith that I know that I'm not going to drown, or I know that like, I'm going to be okay, I still have a fear, even though I know, girl, the water is only 5 feet, you know what I'm saying? Or the water is only 6 feet, whatever. Even though I have faith I'm not going to drown, I still have that fear that I'm going to do something to make myself drown. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like everybody has a fearful moment, but they always encourage themselves to have faith over it. Because you can have faith and not be a Christian or not believe in God, quote unquote. But because faith is only being able to believe without seeing, and trusting in something without being able to see that it is going to happen. So don't think that faith is something, don't think, even though I'm talking biblically and I'm using biblical references, don't think that this is just something that you can do, that you can only do as a Christian. You can have faith you can have faith without a religious you can have faith without having a religious standpoint. Sorry, I couldn't get my words out. So anybody can have faith. But for me, my faith is in God. So I'm trusting that God is going to take care of whatever I need him to take care of in this instant or in this moment. Okay. And I would have to say, for me, believing in something that you cannot see, I don't want to say it takes a lot of imagination, but you have to be very childlike. God wants you to be childlike when you come to him anyways. But you have to have some type of imagination when it comes to faith, because it's just like kids. This is why I always reference children, because this is how God wants us to be more like children and very childlike when we come to him. So the reason I use children a lot is because they're, to me, the closest to God, because they're the most innocent. And, you know, we've sinned, we've done so many things, and, you know, they're just getting into the world. So I always reference children because, for me, that's the best example that I can give when it comes to innocence. And so children have a lot of faith. They do. They have the biggest imagination. They believe. When they think of something in their head, they truly believe it. And nobody can tell them any different. That's how we need to be about God. Trust in God so much, nobody can tell you anything else. Nobody can tell you anything else. Nobody can stray you anywhere else. Just like Noah had faith. I'm sure there were times where he was building that boat and he was like, child, I'm tired. When is it going to be done? Am I doing the right thing? Like, I'm sure he was second guessing himself. It took him a really long time to build that boat. An incredibly long time. I don't think people really know how that story really went. I don't think people really know how long it took Noah to make that boat, but it was an incredibly long time. Okay. And I think people forget that part, or it's not talked about as much. Cause they say that, it was around, I think 75, I think it was about 75. They said that it was about 75. If you like were to Google it, it was about 55 to 75 years. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to Google it right now. How long did it take for Noah to build the ark? Yep. Countdown to the flood. Okay. Loading the ark took 7 days. About 7 days. Okay, so yeah, did not involve the 122 mentioned, but 75 years the most. Okay, so yeah, so about 75 years, and that's just from Google. I'm not positive on that, but that's just from Google. There were views that it took 100 to 120 years. Okay, so some people say 50, some people say 75, 100. It took a long time, pretty much. Okay, that's what we're gonna go with. Okay, it took longer than 5 years, and that is long enough for our attention span. Okay, some people can't even build take weeks out of their day to build something. After a while, y'all gonna be tired. Okay, even waiting on a house doesn't take that long. Okay, if you hire somebody to build a house, it's not gonna take it shouldn't take longer than, I would say, 2 years if weather permits and you have the money for it. Excuse me. If you have the money for it, it shouldn't take longer than 2 years. Okay. Not you gradually getting the money every couple months, okay? But for the people that actually got their coins in check and the weather permits, it shouldn't take you that long. So it's not going to take an average person 120 years or 100 years, 10 years. It's not going to take you that long to build your house if you wanted to build a house. So imagine it taking 120 years to build an ark. At some point, I know you're thinking, because the average people don't live that long anymore, okay? They lived a lot longer in those times. Now, we don't live that long, okay? You're blessed if you live to 100, okay? You're blessed if you live to 75, okay? Let's be real. If you 75 years old, you blessed, okay? So to be building an ark for almost 120 years, it said 100 to 120 years, okay? You gotta at some point be like, God, do you really want me to build this? Was I delusional? Were you playing with me? Was I playing? Was I misinterpreting what you wanted me to do? You know, you gotta be second guessing yourself at some point. So Noah had a lot of faith that what God was telling him to do was exactly what he needed to be doing. And he didn't care, because I'm pretty sure people were probably like, dude, you've been building this boat a long time. I'm pretty sure he had some people like telling him, hey, I think you need to hang it up. I'm pretty sure. I mean, because most people would be thinking that. They would be like, Chad, this man is over here trying to build this boat, and he been building this boat for 120 years and it still ain't built. Like, I'm pretty sure people were making fun of him and they were like, there's something wrong with this man, you know? But he continued to have faith in God. He continued to do what God had told him to do. And that's another thing we have to understand is that God will ask you to do something. And some people might not agree with this. Some people might think you crazy, but you don't care about what other people think. You care about what God thinks. I tell people that all the time. I don't care what people think of me. I care what God thinks of me. Now, the only person I probably would say that I care what they think of me is my daughter. I care what my daughter thinks of me because I am her role model. And I am her example of what a woman is supposed to be, how a woman is supposed to carry herself. You know, so I care what my daughter thinks because I am the person that she's looking to. So I care what she thinks. But for the most part, people in general, I really don't care. Like, I really don't care. And that's not to be rude when I say I don't care. I'm saying it doesn't concern me what someone thinks of me, especially if I know I'm not doing anything wrong, you know? Because everybody's going to have their own opinions. You can't please everybody. That's just impossible. There's so many different types of people in the world. There's always going to be something that somebody dislikes about what you say, about what you do, you know? Because people come from so many different walks of life. So you can't expect anybody to like everything about you. That's just impossible, okay? People didn't like Jesus, okay? So if people didn't like Jesus, how do you expect somebody to like everything about you, okay? So yeah, I think that we have to get over that as well. We have to get over worrying about what people think about us. Do what God has called you to do. Do what you know is right. Do what you know is in your path and in your purpose. And have faith that God is going to hold your hand throughout it all. And you won't have any fear. You won't have any anxiety. You won't have any second thoughts or second doubts. You won't ever feel like, oh, I don't want to do this because I look dumb. Or, oh, I don't want to do this because I'm going to get embarrassed. Stop thinking that way. Because I've missed out on opportunities because I had anxiety. Because I was scared. Because I didn't think I was good enough. And we got to stop that. I had to stop caring about what people thought. I had to. When I had my moments of, when I had my, I don't want to say my phase, but when I had my space of depression and anxiety and, you know, this overwhelming feeling when I had postpartum, and all these stages in my life where I had these moments where these negative spirits were on me, I would care what people thought. I would overthink about every little thing. But I knew that even though I was having all those feelings, I still felt God, but I didn't have a relationship. Like, it wasn't a strong relationship. And that is what caused me to stay in those moments. But once I found myself going back to him, and I would find there would be times where God would speak to me through people, and you know, I was slowly getting back to him, and my faith was definitely growing stronger. But I did have a lot of fear. That was times where fear was overpowering my faith. So I think those scriptures are great if you want to, if you ever want to go back to something, you know, go back to something and read something to encourage you. But oh goodness, we are over 30 minutes. I try not to keep it that long, but I'm gonna try to wrap this up. So read those verses throughout the week whenever you feel fear. And then try to read David and Goliath and Noah as well. Try to read those stories in the Bible this week too, whenever, if you get a chance. If not, stick to those verses. And I just want to encourage you all to always have faith over fear with anything in your life, anything that you want to do. And I'm not even speaking in a biblical standpoint, anything that you want to do, have faith over fear. Okay. Let God do the rest, and whatever is meant for you will be for you. All right. As always, you guys, peace and love. See y'all next time.